It's Sunday, June the 28th, day 99. On Tuesday last, I watched Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the so-called United Kingdom, tell the House of Commons his plans for easing the lockdown on the residents of England. "Thanks to our progress," he told Mr. Speaker, "we can now go further and safely ease the lockdown in England." Hang on, one wanted to say, what progress exactly would that be? Would it be keeping the death toll down to just 43,634? Or overseeing the utter shambles of a contact tracing system that seems to do precious little of either? Or comprehensively screwing up the creation and deployment of an effective proximity sensing smartphone app? I find it impossible to take Johnson seriously. When he stands up to speak in the Commons, it's like watching an adaptation of I, Claudius, done by Monty Python. "At every stage," he burbled, "caution will remain our watchword, and each step will be conditional and reversible." One such step is that on the morning of July the 4th, the hitherto sacred 2 metre rule will be history. This is because 2 metres apparently makes it impossible for the quaintly named hospitality industry to operate. So the critical distance will be 1 metre plus. It's not clear whether the plus refers to distance, say 1.5 metres, or to something else. Perhaps it's plus wearing face masks, or plus fours, those chic golf pants favoured by Bertie Wooster. Who knows? But plus fours or no plus fours, England is opening up on July the 4th, which of course the tabloids are calling Independence Day. It's also a Saturday, which means that Saturday, July the 18th, is the date for your diary, for that's the day we will first begin to get an inkling of what the consequences of the great liberation of July the 4th have been. Hopefully, July the 18th will not reveal that there has been another surge in infections. But if the experience elsewhere is anything to go by, I wouldn't bet on it. I say that because this morning I caught up with Friday's edition of the New York Times' The Daily podcast, which was about what's happening in Texas. It ain't pretty, believe me. The virus is now raging out of control in the Lone Star State. And the story of how that came about has one or two interesting echoes of Boris Johnson's crisis management methods. Texas, like the Brexiteers in the British cabinet, has an ideology suffused with native exceptionalism. This ideology holds that Texas is different, that is to say, superior, to every other state in the United States. And anything they do, Texas will not touch. So, when California and Washington began to implement lockdowns, Texas looked on and sniffed its contempt. Texans don't scare that easily, you see. That's why they have 10-gallon hats. But then reality in the shape of the virus intervened, and eventually the state's Republican governor, a flake of Cadbury proportions, was forced to announce a lockdown, in contradiction of everything he'd been saying for a couple of months. But of course, since Texas is special, it was only a short lockdown, just 28 days, after which the state was again open for business, for barbecues, rodeos, restaurants, bars, and whatever else they do in Texas. Unaccountably, though, gyms and hairdressers remained closed, possibly because the governor thinks that folks who patronise such establishments are either liberals or pinkies. But then after a fortnight, reality dawned again, and the virus is found to be raging through the state. So what does the governor do? He announces that he is not going to sanction any further openings, which means that he is allowing everything that has already opened to stay open. And this is reported by clueless media as a radical change in policy, whereas in fact it's just a stunt by a politician who has lost his marbles. Because the thing about this virus is that it doesn't give a toss about exceptionalism of any variety, Texan or British. It just gets on with what it does best, infecting people and causing some of them to die. And so on July the 18th, we will learn what it thinks of British exceptionalism, and also how many of his marbles are still in Mr. Johnson's possession.